Hello and welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And I'm Kathleen Martin.
And we're just two Kathleens who are making their homes incrementally more beautiful.
And in this episode, we are discussing why creating a mood board when you are designing your home will save you money, time, and give you the home of your dreams.
Woot woot! Do people still say woot woot?
We do.
And this is a two-part episode because next week we're going to go into a much more technical episode on how to actually create a mood board for yourself in Canva, because we worship at the altar of Canva.
We use it every single day and we have tips and tricks to save you time.
Yeah. And you know, in the type of mood board that Kathleen and I are talking about, it's not like cool vibes mood board or, you know, like the mood board where you're like, ooh, I like this aesthetic for my living room. When Kathleen and I create mood boards, we use actual products that you can buy. So we see how everything that we want to actually buy looks together.
Yeah. So important. We're actually creating functional mood boards, making sure things match, seeing how patterns look together, placing colors next to each other. Because when you see it all laid out on one page, you want to make sure it works.
Yes, that term functional mood boards versus, I don't know, should we call them aspirational mood boards?
Yeah, aspirational, inspirational, both.
And those types of mood boards, they're more for like developing what your aesthetic is, for putting a pin on exactly like what you want your home to look like. And if you're still trying to figure out what your aesthetic is, go back and listen to episode 10, How to Design a Uniquely Beautiful Home with 5 Easy Tips. What was the other one that we touched upon that's about design?
We also have episode 27, How to Find Your Home Decor Style, Our Wins and Fails with Eclectic Design.
Oh yeah, that's one of our top ranking episodes. Like, people really got into the nitty gritty with that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good useful info there. So start there and then come back here and we'll talk about functional mood boards.
But first, let's get into our small wins of the week.
Small wins.
I had an aha moment this week.
Oh, please do tell.
So last week I was doing a 5% challenge. I was supposed to finish up some things left in my kitchen.
Yeah.
But turns out I only did 1% of the 5%. And then I left that 1% half done. Oh, so I did 0.5%. But what I did was I painted the trim in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Used my Clair paint and good jeans.
Yeah.
Paint was great. Thick, which sounds gross. Really opaque, like good quality paint. So yeah. I was very happy with it. And then I was getting to the side door and there is casing that has never been painted ever.
Yeah.
Since it's been installed. It's bare wood in some areas and has lots of nail holes.
Oh, well, I saw somebody that was following you on Instagram throwing shade at you.
No. Instagram is nice. Facebook,
oh,
they're mean over there. They don't know me there. So the whole reel was just me like, see this casing? It's never been painted before. I didn't install it. It's been here for 20 years. I'm tired of waiting. I'm just going to paint it.
Yeah.
Because that side door area in my house is a dumpster fire of filth, peeling, mess, broken. There's holes. It's horrible.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was stopping you from painting it in the first place?
It's just so gross over there. And I thought I had to wash it all and fill all the holes and kind of address some bigger issues. So it was kind of like that area just didn't exist in my mind.
Yeah, you didn't know where to start, but you decided to just slap some paint on it.
Yeah. So I painted it and I was all happy. And that one guy on Facebook hated it, but everyone else was happy for me.
This is my impression of that dude. Yo, what are you doing? You're supposed to fill the nail holes first. You're doing it all wrong.
As he cries into his crusty old sock or something.
Or his bowl of lonely soup.
So taking that first step encouraged the next step. And I went back and filled the holes over the paint. And I realized progress encourages more progress.
Oh, girl, say that louder for the cheap seats in the back.
Yes, you just have to get started. And then I realized people wrote, it's actually science, right? There's inertia.
Mm-hmm.
Object in motion will stay in motion.
Yeah.
Overcoming that initial movement to get started is hard.
Yeah.
But when the ball's rolling, it rolls faster. I just have to now keep going.
Yeah. Progress begets progress. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes along with what we're talking about today. day, which is creating a mood board. Because when you look at a room, your bedroom or your living room or whatever, and you're like, okay, this room needs a total redesign, starting without having a mood board first feels so much scarier than starting your project fully knowing your vision because you took the time to create a mood board.
Oh, 100%. But did you have a small win this week?
Yeah. So I was painting old planters. You know, I love figuring out uses for old latex paint that's just sitting around because I hate waste. So I slapped some latex house paint on these old planters that I have. And then I was digging through my dad's collection of like other old paint cans that he had in the basement. And I found boat varnish.
Ooh.
And varnish is not something I typically use because I like a matte look most of the time. Mm-hmm. I put this boat varnish that had like a brown sort of tint to it over blue latex paint on the planters. They are freaking gorgeous.
I saw. They look amazing.
Like, it's been a week now that they've had time to cure. Kathleen, planters are so expensive. I hate wasting money on them every single year. And I'm just going to use this varnish over latex paint technique moving forward.
Love that.
Thanks. All right, let's get into it. Time for mood boards.
Design time.
A functional mood board is going to help you to purchase better because you're going to find the items that you like online. You're going to put them all in one place.
Yeah.
And you're going to say either, yeah, that looks great, or, oh, wait, maybe those grays don't match, or maybe those blues are a little off, or maybe that style doesn't work together.
Mm-hmm.
I just created a mood board for a new bedroom design.
Oh, you're doing a new bedroom design.
Yeah, I'm working with Annie Selke.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together for Christmas, and now we're doing a bedroom collaboration. Oh,
they have the cutest stuff, like such colorful home decor items at Annie Selke.
Yeah, they have a new colorful bedding line coming out, and I was making a mood board, and I thought I wanted to pick one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep it a little vague until it's released. It's okay. Not out yet.
Oh, you're so mysterious over there with your mystery bedding.
And then I was doing the mood board. I was like, oh, wait, this doesn't match.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it's all colorful. So you kind of think it's going to go. And it wasn't until I had it on one page and I was like, oh, no, that design idea in my mind doesn't work in reality. And the mood board saved me from making a bad choice.
Kathleen, I've kind of adapted this because you say this all the time. Small steps makes your home incrementally beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, mood boards really help me with those small steps.
Making our homes incrementally more beautiful. And this also dawned on me this week. My kitchen has been a very slow burn. We are 2.5 years in to improving it. And there were things that were like, so ugly, slap you in the face ugly, you knew you had to change.
Yeah.
Slowly checked those off, painted things, updated things. And I did have a mood board when I first started, but that was more just kind of aesthetic, paint colors, patterns. Yeah. But now I'm at a point where I'm realizing now it's more design. Mm-hmm. Now it's more like just aesthetic choices.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a more functional mood board. You and I keep saying, how do we take our design a step further?
Yeah.
So now I'm starting to try to mood board my kitchen to think about how it's going to continue to evolve.
Gotcha.
And get better and better. Tastes have changed.
Yes.
Times have changed. Functionality has changed.
Yeah.
When you live in a space, then you can truly know what you need the room to be, what you want it to be like. We're encouraging you to make it a little bit more beautiful every day until it's the way you want it to be.
Yeah. Having a mood board to use as your guiding star, your map.
Right.
So you always know what you're working towards. I love going back and looking at old mood boards that I made and going, I had really bad taste.
Taste changes, style changes, trends change.
Yeah.
Yeah. My taste has really evolved, or what I wanted the house to look like, you know, has changed over the years.
Yeah.
That's okay. And that's why sometimes I've been thinking about this a lot. A lot of things happening in my brain design wise, but I think there's helpful and hurtful procrastination.
Oh, tell me.
And I do both. Hurtful procrastination is like when I didn't epoxy my counter.
Mm-hmm.
For a very long time, just because I couldn't overcome the inertia to get started.
Yeah.
Now that's done, obsessed, love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what I wanted it to look like. So that was bad procrastination. good procrastination is I want different curtains in my living room and I can't figure out what I want them to look like. Mm. And the design is still evolving and I'm just sitting until I find the right thing.
Yeah, don't force yourself to buy something. That is a really perfect example of how a mood board will save you money. So I mood board the hell out of everything. I do mood boards for fun when I'm watching TV at night with my husband. I do. And yeah. I have this huge file that I was trying to show you before. That's a huge mood board of my entire apartment with every single room on the same Photoshop file. And I couldn't show you before because my computer didn't have enough memory to open it up. Like, oh, I need to shut down all of my other apps and stuff that are open. But while I understand that I can only tackle one room at a time, I kind of like to mood board the whole house because, like you always remind me, you have to pull color from one room into another to make everything look cohesive. Mm-hmm. And so I always like to try and figure out my paint colors first for my whole house.
Yeah.
Start there. Then I start on the room that I'm working on and I add furniture. I copy and paste furniture, like in my living room, it's a West Elm couch, copied and pasted that picture into my mood board. And I was like, okay, if I have a white sofa here, like in my bathroom, maybe I want to do like white countertops, but then pull the color of the cabinets from the rug in the living room. And like, you know, and it just sort of like an evolving thing like that. And that is why, even though I'm only ever working on one room at a time, I like to mood board more than one room at a time.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And what I'll say, so we create the mood board, right? You have the West Elm couch, put it on the mood board. It's functional. We can actually buy it.
Yeah.
Put the end tables you want, put the rug, and then you look at it and you sit with it. And then as you're living your life and you're looking on the internet, maybe you find a dupe for that couch.
Yeah.
And that works in your budget.
Yeah.
Because even though you're putting in a functional piece that can be purchased, it may still not be in your budget.
Yeah.
So it can kind of be a mix of both that aspirational and functional. But I think it's a great like guiding star, you know, to get you towards what you want the end goal to be.
Yeah.
Because you can focus on one aspect of the mood board or adapt and make changes as you go.
And I just love layering things on a mood board behind and in front of each other. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I've been like, I want this couch and this rug and this paint color. But then I actually get everything onto the mood board and I'm like, wait a second, this isn't the aesthetic that I'm going for at all. Mm-hmm. And I save myself time, money, and aggravation. But once upon a time, I would have just gone out and bought those things and then put them in my room and been like, oh, this doesn't make any sense together. And also, off mic, we were having this discussion about Memorial Day sales. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to get that itch. Oh, let's go to the store and get a new couch because we're going to get a good price. And then you come home with a couch and maybe it's a color that you are not so keen on, but it was a really good price. And I feel like it's easier to make better, more financially responsible decisions when you have that mood board, decisions that you're not going to regret and end up having to get something new in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, don't get sucked into the sale. Or maybe the couch you always wanted on the mood board, you realize it's on sale.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe you want a really expensive console table or something and you're like, okay, this is like my dream piece. Where can I nip and tuck to get a couch that looks similar to the one on my mood board because I need to save dollars and cents? And you get your dream piece and the whole look of the room that you want at a budget that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So the last thing I'll say about it, when you have your mood board and you're trying to implement, depending on your budget, your time, whatever, it's always easy to start small.
Yeah.
Start with the accessories, the rugs, the paint, things that you can maybe swap out more easily and build up to the more expensive things, build up to the things that you need to source. Sometimes you could have put something vintage on your mood board.
Yeah.
So you know that you're searching Facebook for a while, like with my bathroom vanity that I just got on Facebook Marketplace, I've been searching for maybe 2.5 months to get the right dimension.
Wow.
And I had the mood board for the bathroom with an example of it.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to find the right one. So I knew what I wanted and it gave me a place to start for searching.
Oh, that is the perfect example. And also, we talk a lot on this podcast about Band-Aid renovations. Mm-hmm. So Kathleen, you wanted a specific tile on your floor in your kitchen, but you didn't have the budget for it. So you painted the tile onto the floor instead, gave you the overall aesthetic of the room.
Right.
Do you think you'll go and buy the actual tile eventually?
Yeah, I think I will. It was such a good way to test out a really bold pattern.
Yeah.
It's black and white, but it's a more modern graphic pattern. And now I feel comfortable committing to the tile version when the budget presents itself. So doing that little step, the small improvement, is such a great way to get you to the desired end result.
And it's really fun to see how your style kind of evolves over the years.
Yeah.
Because I never delete any of my mood boards. I always save them and date them and I put them in a folder.
Yeah. Give yourself time, give yourself grace, and just make small, small improvements, small wins every day.
Social shout out.
Today's social shout out is Marco Zamora, and his handle is at want, W-A-N-T dot Zamora, Z-A-M-O-R-A. I couldn't remember what his handle was, and I was like explaining to Kathleen, have you seen that DIYer that does all of the faux stained glass projects?
And you're like, yep.
Right away, you're like, yep, I know his handle. Let me find it. It's in my likes.
Yes. So some of the favorites that he's done are the renter-friendly upgrades, and they're really simple, but they made a huge impact. He had a tiled floor that was all white.
Yeah.
But he added red peel and stick overlays to some of the tiles to make this design. It's a diagonal checkerboard like Harlequin pattern. He added a wood frame and a faux stained glass to the doorway.
The way that he does the faux stained glass blows my mind because it looks so real. And he does it with puff paint.
The application, I'm like, I don't know. And then you put it up and I'm like, oh my God.
I know. Yeah, you see him doing it in the videos and it kind of looks a little bit elementary. Mm-hmm. And then he puts it up and the light comes through.
Looks totally real.
It looks so real. It's insane. You know, something he mentioned in his reels lately that really touched me and I thought it was a great example of how to incorporate your life experiences into design was he went on a vacation to Mexico and he was really inspired by all of the bright colors that he saw on his vacation that was used in interior design over there. And he came home and incorporated those colors into his house. And I just think that that's a beautiful way to honor your own life and your own travels.
Oh, yeah. I always collect art when I travel. I think that's great. The last thing that I noticed that he did, he's like continually working on the kitchen, is he had this wall-mounted microwave. He said it was mounted 6 feet high, just straight dead into the wall.
So it was that way when he moved in?
Yeah. So he just made a hinged frame for a vintage piece of art and it looks perfect on the wall. And now the weird wall microwave is hidden.
So stay tuned next week. We're going to have a little bit more of a technical episode, give you our best Canva tips and how to get started mood boarding your home on Canva. But until then, follow this podcast at Kathleen Can Do It.
You can follow me, Kathleen Martin, at Create a Colorful Life.
And me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
Make sure to join our Facebook group. Always fun things happening over there. Search Kathleen Can Do It, DIY and Design Group. What's going on this week?
So DIYer Jennifer was posting pictures of her living room and she's like, well, I listened to Kathleen Can Do It and I realized that I got a rug that was too small for my living room. And indeed, it was way, way, way too small. So she put up some options and she's like, which one do you think would look best in the room? And I actually made a video. I recorded a video response for her. She's choosing from Ruggable.com, like Ruggable collection, because she wants it to be washable. And she was like, I have to incorporate color. Jennifer's living room was one of the living rooms where I actually was like, Jennifer, step away from the color. You need a white rug to open up the feel of this room because you have a gray couch. Pull in color from artwork and from your drapery.
Interesting.
Yeah. So go and check it out. Jennifer talking all about Ruggables and what she's going to put in her living room and picks up her living room.
You can call and leave us a voicemail. Our number is 201-378-3378. We'll play your message on the pod.
And don't forget, if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.
Design time!